Lord, thank you that all of us are here and most of us are healthy, and I pray that that you would be at work in all the sicknesses in various households, that you would heal them. And I also just thank you. I know I'm really doing a read through the Bible in a year plan, and I'm right on track on day 5, but I pray you would, just reminding me in Job where he is just begging for an arbitrator between them, where he's talking about how he can't talk to you because you are not a man as he is. And he says, there's no arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both. And I just always, when I read that, think of how thankful I am that you did send an arbiter between us, that you sent your son so that we could be connected to you. And I thank you for that. I pray that you would speak through Ashley this morning, that you would give us hearts to hear, and that you would help us to listen to a story that we probably know really well and just be able to get something different out of it or see you in a new way through it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Edna. So my name is Ashley. I'm one of the elder pastors here at New Song. And our banner, partially obscured by the Christmas tree over here, we begin our year. Each year we have a theme, and this year's theme is Follow Me. And in Luke 9:23 it says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So we began this year in Luke looking at the call to follow Jesus, which does require us to deny ourselves and take the cross daily. And the 12 apostles learned to do this along with the 70 as they were sent out by Jesus to minister. They came back with joy for what they saw God do through them, but they were pressed on every side and didn't even have time to eat. They were tired. Jesus called them away to rest, but even that rest really wasn't realized because crowds continued to follow them. And Scripture gives us a very real picture here of the 12 learning what it means to deny themselves and take the cross daily. If we give out of our own supply, we will run out very quickly. We must remain connected to the supply of Jesus. And as we'll see today in the feeding of the 5,000, it's an example of that. Jesus said to the disciples, looking at this crowd, that he said, "You give them something to eat." And they didn't have it in themselves. But they brought what they had, and Jesus multiplied it. And this is denying self and taking the cross. When we've been faithful to answer the call, even when our flesh is worn out, we continue to pick up the cross every day and lay down our lives. And we look to Jesus as our supply in times like this, and he will provide, as we're about to read in this story today. Now, there's no slides for the sermon today, but you will want to follow along in your Bible and take notes. There's some pens in the back if you'd like a pen as well. And so the title of today's sermon is, "It's Not About the Food." It's not about the food. So let's turn to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to read this famous feeding of the 5,000 starting around verse 30. Now, have you ever read the Bible, been reading, and suddenly your head just explodes? That happened to me recently. My head's still intact, right? Just when you see something that leaps off the page, the way God does that sometimes when you're reading Scripture. And we're going to read this account in Mark. But I am convinced that we have missed something in this passage our entire lives. I've been in the church my entire life. I've heard many sermons on the feeding of the 5,000, and I have never heard it presented this way. It is not about the fish and the loaves. And you're thinking, what? That's the only way I've ever heard this message. Can you figure out what Jesus is trying to communicate and teach the disciples here as we read? Let's read this and find out together. So it's not about the food. That's the only clue I'm going to give you here first. So starting in Mark chapter 6, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii, 200 days' wages worth of bread, and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds, by 50s. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And he broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, and set them before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. A very familiar passage to many of us. So what have we missed here? Well, I'd like you to turn, this is the big giveaway right here. What are we missing here? Let's turn and read Psalm 23 together. Some of us can probably quote it. We're going to read Psalm 23, and then we're going to come back to this passage again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love it how God plans the service. Josh sang 2 songs this morning that dovetail very nicely with the passages we're going to look at. Your goodness is running after me. We just read that in Psalm 23 here. So that's the big clue here. Mike's got some handouts he's going to pass out now. I didn't want to make this, didn't want you to have to write down everything, so I've given you a cheat sheet here. But what we're going to look at now is if we reread this story of the fish and the loaves, I want you to pay attention to the references to the shepherd and Psalm 23. So here we go, starting again, Mark chapter 6, verse 30. With this in mind, notice what comes out of the passage. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot all from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit on the ground in the green grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they divided the 2 fish among them also. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Does it read a little different? Thinking about Psalm 23 as we go through there. I don't want to press this analogy with Psalm 23 too hard just to make everything fit, but I think there's some major points here for us to take away of what Jesus is doing when he's feeding the 5,000 with his disciples there. So let's break it down. I'm going to kind of step through these parallels that I've laid out for you here on this handy reference sheet. So he said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. Clearly, this is Psalm 23. We're going to pick out the phrases in Psalm 23 as we go through here. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. When you look at the notes in your Bible, it says the actual Hebrew there for still waters is waters of rest. He leads me beside waters of rest. Restore, a little bit of a retreat, a vacation, some extra Sabbath time here. Now, why was this necessary? Well, if we rewind in the earlier in Mark chapter 6, he had sent out the 12 to do ministry. He had given them power. They're watching miracles happen at their own hands, and they returned full of excitement, but they were also worn out. They didn't even have time to eat, it says. Now, the disciples were always worried about what they were going to eat next. It's almost comical. When you look at the Gospels, you know, they're always about, where are we going to get all this bread for all these people? Well, I was in Israel in 2023. The pita and the hummus, oh, wow. I mean, this is Israeli biscuits and gravy. I mean, to put it in our terms here, right? I mean, this is comfort food. The pita, the hummus is so smooth. Oh, my goodness. So the pita and the hummus, it's good. Good food is good for you. Good comfort food. And these disciples are missing their biscuits and gravy. Now, we read a little bit later in Mark 7 that it says the Pharisees were complaining to Jesus that his disciples ate their food without washing their hands, some of them. And then in John 4, Jesus just got done talking to the woman at the well. He revealed himself for the first time as I am the Messiah to a Samaritan woman who was an outcast in society. This is a pinnacle milestone moment in the earthly ministry of Jesus. And what are the disciples worried about? Let's read in John 4. When just then his disciples came back, they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. So this is the scene. Jesus just wraps it up with the woman at the well. She's convinced he's the Christ. Now people are coming out of the town and the disciples missed the whole thing. And they're strolling up down. This is what they say. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. It almost seems insensitive of the disciples, completely not getting it. This is Jesus' moment. He's revealed himself as the Messiah to this woman. The town is coming out to meet him, and all they can think about is what they're going to eat. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, very famous passage, Jesus clearly addresses this as well. There's this anxiety about the future and what we're going to eat or drink or wear. And so he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, or nor about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And he goes on to talk about the birds and the lilies and how long you're going to live and the grass and all these things that God takes care of. Therefore, do not be anxious saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the point Jesus is making here. So returning now to the feeding of the 5,000, here we are with this large crowd. And once again, all the disciples can think about is what they're going to eat. Now granted, they were tired. I'm having a little static on my mic. Am I not? Let's see if I can get that down below the goatee. Sorry. Yeah, that's they tell me after I get done speaking that my goatee's rubbing the mic and it disturbs people. Sorry. That's not going to work anyway. Oh well. Sorry. So let's look at Mark chapter 6, then verse 34. Continuing on your handout, please just ignore the scratching on the mic. When we went ashore, we saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Here's our first big clue in the passage. The Lord is my shepherd. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy. That word mercy is also translated steadfast love. His goodness, his mercy, his love will follow me all the days of my life. So they were like sheep without a shepherd. So here's Jesus on a mission to the lost sheep. And we know later he talks about the 99, leave the 99 for the one. And he's all about the lost sheep. And here's a flock. The people are literally flocking. See, on the Sea of Galilee, it's only 7 miles wide and 13 miles tall. It's kind of like Buckeye Lake. And you could stand on Buckeye Lake and you could see people in boats going back and forth. And you could see what's on the other side of the lake. So here, it's kind of like that. So Jesus and the disciples get in the boat, and the people are like, there he goes. And they're literally running around Buckeye Lake to get to the other side. So when they get there, they're waiting on him. Okay, that's kind of the picture here, what's happening. And so they're literally, these sheep without a shepherd are literally flocking to Jesus, the good shepherd. He's here, and he has compassion on them. Compassion, love, surely goodness and mercy, steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life. This is who he is. And it says he taught them, which sounds a lot like Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he was giving them his word. And it wasn't just his word. Later in John chapter 17, Jesus would pray, talking to his Father, and he said, the words you gave me, I gave to them. Jesus was all about taking from the Father and giving to others. And that's what he was showing here. He's receiving from the Father and he's giving to others. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside, to the villages, and buy themselves something to eat. They're worried about eating. Again, now, Imagine that, let's not get there just yet. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's getting dark. And imagine a shepherd who's just collected sheep. He's not going to scatter the sheep again. A shepherd gathers sheep. They don't scatter sheep. And the disciples are asking the shepherd to scatter the sheep to dark places in this desolate place. That's completely counter to the nature of a shepherd. It's desolate, it's late, they're hungry, and Chick-fil-A is closed. This is not the time for the shepherd to scatter the sheep. So they've got to learn that there's safety in numbers here. It's part of the flock. And he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii?" A denarius was a day's labor. So who's going to have 200 days? I mean, they're being a little bit facetious here. You know, do you have 200 days? It would probably defeat all these people. It's going to take a lot of money. Do you got all that money just laying around? And they know. So they're now the disciples themselves are a little bit hangry here. All right, because where do they really get the rest in this passage? Jesus said, "Let's go to a desolate place. Let's rest and eat." Now they probably grabbed a few pieces of bread on the way out of town across the lake, right? So they probably had a little bit of a snack here, but like to really chow down. So Jesus says, "We're going to go rest and eat," and then it gets disrupted again. There's more people. There's more crowds. They still haven't eaten yet. So the disciples still are waiting to eat. And Jesus, in a very polite way, says, "Wrong answer. It's not about the money. Look at what you got. And look at what you have, not what you don't have." Phil just mentioned that hymn, "Little as Much When God Is In It." I used to hear that when I go to church with my grandma when I was a kid. I think I actually sang it at her funeral. "Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little as much." And so that's usually the message that we hear in this story, the feeding of the 5,000. Then here it is. This is the trifecta verse that seals the deal on Psalm 23, verse 39. "And he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass." Which sounds almost identical to Psalm 23 when he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." This is the moment my head exploded when I was reading this passage. Not only, so the trifecta here is three things. There's a command to lie down in green grass. It's even in the same sequence, in the same order in the verse. It's perfect. God is showing us this is about shepherding, to lie down in the green grass. And in John, in his version of this, in his gospel, he says that there was much grass in this place. This was a grassy place. Which in Israel, there's a lot of desert. But when I stayed for 3 days around the Sea of Galilee, it's beautiful. I could literally open my sash on my veranda and see the Sea of Galilee and hear the doves cooing. It was beautiful. And there's this green grass because there's all this water. And there's other places that are very not green in Israel. But here, around the Sea of Galilee, there are places. John tells us there's a lot of grass. This is a very grassy place. So it just even puts an exclamation point on the fact that here is the shepherd with all these lost sheep, plus the 12 sheep he calls by name, all sitting on the green grass together. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set them before the people. The disciples set them before the people. He's teaching the disciples how to be shepherds, how to minister. This is what his, as he's teaching us as well, right? So the disciples set this before the people, which sounds a lot like, "You prepare a table for me," in Psalm 23. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. We don't know if this is exactly the blessing, but Jewish tradition says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min ha'eretz." That's the Hebrew, traditional Jewish blessing over bread, acknowledging where the bread comes from. So Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he gives this blessing over the bread and the fish, a very familiar blessing that they would have all known. And then the climax here, verse 42, "And they all ate, and not only did they eat, they were satisfied." They were satisfied. And that sounds like the very first verse of Psalm 23. "I shall not want." He satisfied everything they needed. When I'm satisfied in Him, I want for nothing. So it's come full circle. The disciples got their food, and so did the rest of the flock, the lost sheep. Now, when I hear the word satisfied, my mind goes to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, to your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be on us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So David here in the Psalm 90, is saying, there's this affliction and evil all around us. Lord, may we be satisfied only in you, no matter what else is going on around us. They all ate and were satisfied. I shall not want. And then, it's not over. "And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." That sounds like Psalm 23 when it says, "My cup overflows." God doesn't only provide. He provides more than enough here. Now, there's another cue here to a very famous shepherding passage, John 10. When you think about the book of John and all the different "I am" statements that Jesus made, "I am the light of the world," "I am the good shepherd." John 10, the first 18 verses here, we'll just take a moment to read this as well. Because as we're understanding what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples, he's trying to teach them about what it means to be a shepherd and what a shepherd does. A shepherd doesn't scatter sheep. He gathers them, and then he feeds them. So here in John 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads me beside still waters." And then he's brought out, "and when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Now, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And we'll see that a little bit later in the feeding of the 5,000 as well. They still didn't understand. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door." He repeats it again. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." And then here's the famous John 10:10 passage. We hear this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But it's out of context usually when this verse is quoted. You have to remember, he says, "All who came before me, they were just thieves and robbers." So he's differentiating himself. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So when we read in the Psalms, my cup overflows. There were 12 baskets full taken up. He says that he came that we'd have life abundantly. And then he goes on, it says, three times he calls himself the good shepherd, and four times he talks about laying down his own life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I've received from my Father. So he's talking about hired hands who don't really care, maybe more concerned about what they're going to eat. And he's talking about how he is the good shepherd who lays down his life. And he emphasizes this. And does that not sound like our theme verse over here? To take up your cross, to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. So finally, we have this beautiful bookend. So if we look at verse 31 here in Mark 6 and verse 42, it starts out, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. Many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. Then we get to the end of the story, and they all ate and were satisfied. Jesus, the 12 named sheep that he calls out, and the lost sheep, everybody ate and was satisfied. They all were satisfied. This is both the shepherd's heart and the shepherd's reward. Jesus himself ate with them. And when we obey Christ, we ourselves also find benefit in the fruit of our own obedience, as Jesus is teaching them here. So it's not about the food. It's about learning to shepherd. The spiritual feeding was the first priority. He taught them. Now, the miracle feeding, it really seems to me the miracle 5,000 feeding was an afterthought here in Jesus' mind. It was the foremost thought in the disciples, when are we going to get to eat? But for Jesus, he had already fed them. He had fed their souls. So he fed their souls and he fed their bodies. Physical and spiritual bread. And Jesus drove home this point even more in John chapter 6. Again, John chapter 6, verse 22, 23, it talks about the disciples were getting into boats, and these people were watching them like a hawk now. So they say, okay, look, they're getting in the boats. And it says, the other boats came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So this became, word got around. You feed 5,000 people like that, word travels fast. And so now what happens next? They got into their boats and they chased him down to Capernaum, where they found Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And he answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. So here Jesus again is pointing it out that it's not about the bread, it's not about the food, it's about the spiritual food. And so these people were just chasing him for what they could eat. So the spiritual feeding was the first priority. The miracle feeding really was an afterthought for Jesus. So he's teaching the disciples how to shepherd. as he is shepherding them and these lost sheep, and he's teaching them by example without saying the words. Now, there's a popular quote, usually attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, that says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." So Jesus was leading here by his action without using words. I'll just pause there for a second. Does that blow your mind like it did mine when I was reading this? My goodness, they're sitting in the green grass.